Exodus chapter 1. Some of you remember who Keith Green was. He was a singer and a songwriter, and he was a part of a group out of Lindale, Texas, who I guess we could call them revivalists. The same group, David Wilkerson, whenever he left New York City after he founded Teen Challenge and was there for a number of years, he relocated, and I heard him tell why he went there, because he said, I had allowed the ministry and all we were doing to get so big, and I needed to stop, get alone with God, and hear from God. And he lived there, and that's actually Lindale, Texas area is where he died in a car crash here just a few years ago. But there was a group of a number of people that I guess you would say they were kind of out of the mainstream of a lot of the ministry people at that time who were well known, who had decided that they wanted to seek after God and they were interested in a revival in our country. Keith Green made this statement, and this is a quote from him. This generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls on the earth. We're all living at this particular time, and I love to read about the history of the church. I love to read about what has happened in past revivals and how God used different people over the many generations to spur revivals and a move of God. And it's always challenging and very encouraging. There's only one problem, and that is you and I don't live in that era of time. We live now. We live right now. And so we have a responsibility, not to a previous generation, but we have a responsibility to this generation. Amen. God's put us here, and it's not an accident that we are living at this span of time in our life. It's not an accident. It is a part of God's plan. He's put his hand on you and on me, upon each one of us, believers, with a calling and a purpose, and that is to reach this generation of Christians or this generation of souls for Christ. I think I've been thinking a lot about this. Maybe it's because of graduations and young people growing up. And I mean, there's bro 6'9" or whatever he is now. I remember when he was walking around here in the kindergarten with a pacifier in his mouth. What? Oh, he had it in his pocket. Just in case he needed it. Okay. But I'm almost in a whirlwind when I see what seems like a few years ago, little bitty kids that are now moving into adulthood. It's pretty crazy. And it's especially sobering to me when I think about the fact that that really there's a shift and that there's a new generation. There's always this transitioning of people who step into adulthood and a whole new group of people that have needs, and we have a responsibility to minister to every age group and to do our best to reach them. Let's read here in Exodus, because this is the example that's given here of Joseph's generation who dies off. They're gone. And that's what it says in verse 6, Exodus 1 and 6. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And now there are those who have lived in captivity, were born in captivity. They've lived in captivity, and now the generation is changing and a whole new generation of people that are growing up in Egypt because Joseph is gone. All of his brothers are gone. His entire generation is gone. And there's a new Pharaoh that has stepped on the scene. And he doesn't know Joseph. He doesn't know how God used Joseph. He doesn't know anything about. Somehow, in over the process of a lot of years, this Pharaoh steps into a place of prominence and leadership in Egypt, and he doesn't know anything about how God brought Joseph down to Egypt and positioned him to save his family. And he doesn't apparently know the story. He doesn't know about Joseph. He doesn't know about the mighty hand of God and the God of Israel. All he knows about the children of Israel are that they are his subjects and his slaves. And so they are, they're, that even though that they're in the situation that they're in, the Bible says, let's read it here, verse 6. And Joseph died and all his brethren, all that generation and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. All that the new Pharaoh knew is that the children of Israel, his subjects, his slaves, they're advancing, they're growing, and they're growing so fast that they're filling all of the land. And he was intimidated by that. This Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. There arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. The Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. They just kept making it harder and harder and harder on them. But instead of being able to accomplish what they were trying to accomplish, it didn't work. It didn't work. Something about the people of God, something about not only the children of Israel, but even the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trouble, problems, persecution doesn't stop the church. Somehow, God gives grace and the church grows and advances, even in persecution. Praise God. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. Now I took the time, I always love to use the Strong's numbers and find out what do their names mean. Hardly ever do I ever do a study on a passage of Scripture that I don't look at names and find out, because almost always there's significance to their names. So these were, as I understand it, these were two of more or less the leaders of a great band of midwives. They believe, at least the commentary that I read, that there could have been as many as 500 midwives in Egypt of the children of Israel. These two apparently were leaders, maybe organizers, or somehow over the group of midwives. The first one's name, Shiphrah, it means bright. And the other one, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Puah. And her name means glitter. So Bright and Glitter are the leaders of this band of midwives. And it says in verse 16, and when you do the office, they called them in. They called in Bright and Glitter and said, let's have a conference. And they talked to them and said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. There is a place for civil disobedience. Whenever God's command and God's law is higher than the command of those who are in leadership, and it would cause you to disregard the law of God, then you're in a position to disobey the authorities. Amen. And that's exactly what they did. They feared God more, and they did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Now, in a sense, and I know that maybe you don't want to be compared to this, but tonight we need to be compared to this group of midwives as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The midwives, their job was to make sure to facilitate the successful birth of these children. Midwives who I'm sure were trained and were experienced, and they knew how to help a lady have a child. They knew what to do, how to make it happen, how to be successful, and to be able to help them bear their children. And so this band of some 500 midwives can be credited with saving an entire generation. They can be credited with, even though they disobeyed the law of the Pharaohs and the law of the land to obey God, God used them to save a whole generation. I believe that we have been called to this generation. What we do and how we fulfill our calling and our task will have a lot to do with whether or not this generation survives. Amen. It's a pretty awesome responsibility when you think about it, but we have children, young people, and a whole generation growing up and moving into adulthood and moving into their life and their future. And we have, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be compared to these who are like the brightness of the situation. They brought hope. That's the only comparison that I can give to these ladies, and their names was the fact that they brought brightness and hope into the darkest of situations. And that's what we have been called to do as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been called to give hope to this generation and to make sure that those that are growing up right now, those that are our children, our young people, and those that this generation that's advancing and becoming adults, that they know about the promise of God. They know about the Word of God. They know about the plan of God. They understand the move of God. It's not some distant story that we've talked about. They have experienced it. They have witnessed it. They have seen life and revival and a move of God. We bear a heavy burden as the spiritual midwives of this generation to make sure that they are born into this generation with a knowledge of God and a knowledge of the power of God. And I think we can transfer what we have known and what we've experienced, and we can talk to them about that, and we should. We should give testimonies of the mighty power of God. We certainly should do that. We should let them know how God has worked and how God has moved. But somehow, in the transfer of one generation to the next, we can't allow this generation to grow up, to become adults, and to live their lives and not know about the power of God and not know about the promise of God, to not know about the life that we can live enjoying the presence of God and the power of God every day of our lives. Amen. So we can't fail. This is a task that we must not fail in. We must not. Notice here it says that the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, "What? Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive?" And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women." They're different. They're different. "For they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them." Now, I don't know. I don't believe that they were lying. I don't believe that they lied to Pharaoh. I believe that what they said really was happening. I believe that whenever a woman was bearing a man-child, a little boy was being born, that child was born, and it happened so quick and so fast that the midwives were called upon and they didn't get there in time. Now, it may not have been true of the girl babies that were born. Maybe they bore them and the midwives were there, but all I can, I feel confident that God blessed them because they obeyed the Lord, and God made those ladies bear their children easy and quick. Amen. Amen. Stay with me now. I'll stay as discreet as I possibly can. Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come into them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. It just means that God just showered out blessings upon them. God blessed them provided for them wonderful blessing and privilege. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. Most of the time, the midwives, that they weren't necessarily mothers themselves. In a lot of cases, they had just been set aside to that task and that responsibility. So a lot of them weren't even married. A lot of them didn't have their own families and their own homes. But the Bible says that God blessed them and allowed them to have their own husbands and to have their own children and to have their own families, because God was blessing them because they were obeying his voice. Praise God. Amen. Because they feared the Lord, he made them houses. The word literally means families, homes. He allowed them to have their own family and caused them to be able to have their own children. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, "Every son that is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Pharaoh wasn't going to give up easy. And this culture and this generation that opposes God and everything that the Word of God stands for doesn't give up easy, but will continue to try to influence and touch the minds and the hearts of this generation that's growing up. So we bear a very big responsibility to them. Amen. A big responsibility to help them, to teach them, to train them. We have to be that spiritual bridge from one generation to the next generation. We don't just talk about how God has worked and moved, but we somehow transfer to the next generation the reality of God, the reality of the power of God, so that our children and our young people that are growing up now, they know about the power of God. They know about serving God. They are learning about how to walk with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some have said, well, we're just one generation away from extinction of the church. Amen. I don't know that that's true, but I do know that a lot can change in just a short amount of time. Things are changing so fast and have changed so fast in the last decade in our country, and it's, for the most part, not good changes, not in a direction that honors God, not in a direction that is obedient to the things of God, the principles of the Word of God, but are moving further and further and further away, faster and faster than we can imagine. And it's almost every week something is in the headlines that reminds us of this perverted generation that has rejected God. And my prayer is, oh Lord, don't let our children and our youth and those that are growing up right now, don't let them be affected by the direction of this generation. But let us be like those midwives. Let us be the bright and shining star in their lives to give them hope, to give them faith and confidence that they can live for God, they can serve God even in this crooked and perverse generation. Amen. So there has to be memorials along the way, just like they piled up the stones after they walked across the Jordan River. Piled up the stones there that were taken out of the middle of the river. So whenever the children say, what does that mean? That you're going to have a memorial in their life and something that will cause them to say, I don't understand what happened there. What was that? And you'll be able to say, this is how God worked. This was a miracle. This was the supernatural a work of God, and he opened up the river and he allowed the children of Israel to walk across. Amen. And provided for them. It served as a reminder, and there has to be some things, and that the younger generation has to get a hold of something that's going to be reminders to them. They're going to have to witness in you and me the reality of God's power. They're going to have to see us. If we want them to pray around the altars for extended periods of time, then we're going to have to linger around the altar. If we want to see them worship God, enter into a service and worship God, we're going to have to uncross our arms and look to Jesus and start worshiping God. If we want to see God's mighty hand working, if we want to see miracles and transformations and souls being saved and folks being filled with the Spirit of God, it's going to have to happen in us too. We're going to have to model it. We're going to have to live it every day of our lives. And we're going to have to be the church so that we can be the bridge that will lead them to this same experience with God. Hallelujah. Amen. If we're one generation away from extinction, then all it takes is for this generation to get cold and half backslid and disinterested in the things of God, get all focused on worldly things, all focused on more money or more things or more possessions, and forget about God and forget about the house of God and forsake the things that God has called us to, and then this generation will follow right along and do just what we are doing. Amen. They're watching us. They're observing what we do. They're observing every step we take, everything that we do. They're observing, they're watching, they're learning. And some of the very things that you may resent about the generation that's coming up, they may have learned it from you and me. They may have observed it in us. If you have a disinterest in the things of God, a disinterest in the house of God, you're not willing to obey God and live by the principles of the Word of God. And somehow they see that. They pick that up. And they're following right along behind us. And our failures are lived out right in the faces and the lifestyles of our children. This generation is growing up in probably the most hostile environment against the church and against Christianity that I've ever known. Although I know that down through the centuries there have been many, many times the church has faced persecution and opposition, but we live in a very hostile environment toward the things of God and toward the Word of God. The Word of God is becoming something of a joke to this generation, laughed at and ridiculed. And Christians now, especially if you come under the category of a conservative Christian or a holiness Christian, then you move yourself into a category that this generation, they don't want that. They're not interested in that. They don't want Christians who are willing to stand for the truth, to hate sin, and to follow the principles of the Word of God. That's the world that we're living in right now. And if we stand for what's right, then we will very likely be called. We're fast moving toward the day where preachers who stand up and just preach the truth right out of the Word of God will be called extremists, and will be caused, it'll be called hate crimes, and it'll be called something that will bring judgment and the pressures down upon this generation of Christians. But we must stand and we must pass something along to our youth and to our children. We've got to somehow convey it. We've got to be able to help them and convince them of the reality of the power of God. And that's not going to happen if we're indifferent and cold and we have no zeal and no love for God and no interest in the things of God. Amen. We live in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. But what are we to do according to Philippians chapter 2 and 15? Among whom you shine as lights in the world, just like those midwives who are the bright hope of their generation, who would not listen to the voices that were commanding them to dishonor God and disobey. They obeyed God, and they saved a whole generation, and they saved a Moses, and they saved a deliverer and a lawgiver, and they saved those that were going to follow, all of those children of Israel that were going to march out and leave that captivity and head toward the promised land. They saved that entire generation as they left doing the things, shining as a bright light. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and me, we have called to be a light. We're to be a light to the world, but we're also to be a bright light to this generation of children and young people that are growing up right underneath our feet and right among us. We need to be a bright light to them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Joseph died. All his brethren died. All that generation died. And there rose up this Pharaoh that didn't know God, didn't know anything about God. But those midwives made sure that those children that were born, I think it's incredible when you read the story of Moses' life, that she, Moses' mother, only had him for just a short little time. I don't know how long, but she took care of him and nursed him, and I don't know how old that he was, but he wasn't very old. He was a small little boy when he went in to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Somehow, in that little short span of time, she took advantage of that time and she put the truth in Moses. She put so much in him that he never really was able to identify with the Egyptians. He was a stranger, even though he was raised in the palace, likely successor to Pharaoh. All of the wealth and the privilege that he had, the education that he had, all of those things, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He made a decision, and he was able to make that right decision on the basis of what was put into his heart when he was a little bitty boy by his mother. Wow. That was powerful, wasn't it? That's a powerful influence upon our little ones, teaching them and instructing them in the ways of the Lord to such a degree that when they become at the place that they're making their own decisions, that they can do the right thing. They can please God. They can honor the Lord with what they do. This is the generation, Psalm 24 and 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Amen. This is the generation. Amen. Is there a generation coming along? I've read a little bit about the revival that's been going on in West Virginia. Watched a few little video clips. Almost all of it is exclusively in the public schools or related to the young people. It's not hundreds now. It's thousands of them that are being affected by that revival. I don't know much in detail about, you know, all about it. All I know is it's pretty amazing that the news media is going in there and reporting on a move of God and hundreds of young people that are getting saved. I haven't lost hope in this generation. I have a lot of confidence that God can really use our youth, our young people, our children that are growing up, and many, many others that we can influence for the glory of God, even to see them saved and brought into the kingdom of God, all within our reach, right here in our community. This is the generation that can seek God and know God. if somehow we can bridge the gap and we can transfer from our lives the hope to this next generation that God is at work and that God is moving. Amen. The Bible describes these last days as days of strong delusion. Strong delusion, where folks would reject God and find happiness and fulfillment in pleasures and things of this world. I don't want to be a part of that, and I don't want our children and young people to be a part of that. I don't want their minds to be clouded with the strong delusion of this generation. Amen. But instead, I want them to know about the power of God. Know about the Word of God. Know about godly role models, godly leaders who are pointing them in the way that they need to follow. Is it possible? Oh, I believe it is. I believe it is. I believe we can honor the Lord. In this case, these midwives, they obeyed God and put their own lives in jeopardy. They sacrificed and put their lives on the line to convince this generation and to bring hope and to save the lives of that entire generation. As I said, I forget which commentator I was reading after that said, probably as many 500 of them that saved, multiplied thousands of baby boys and a whole generation that was preserved because they honored God. Amen. That's what the Lord has called the church to be. Spiritual midwives who can see sons and daughters born into the kingdom of God. They can see this generation preserved. They don't have to go down the tubes. They don't have to lose out with God. We can instill some things into their hearts that's going to keep them in the way that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. I trust that this is something that you'll take to heart. You'll allow the Lord to talk to you about this and take on the burden of children and young people and this generation that's growing up right now. They don't know much about God. They don't know much at all about the things of God, and you and I have this responsibility. As Keith Green says, this generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of lost souls. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Oh, God. Lord, help us to take it to heart tonight. Lord, I recognize that we must put forth a great deal of effort and commitment, Lord, to passing on to the next generation the things of God. Lord, that they can know your word, that they can know the principles of your word, that they can know how to live their lives, God, to please you. Lord, I ask you to protect them and keep them safe from all the things, Lord, that's always pursuing them, that can invade their minds and their hearts and destroy their spiritual potential. Oh, God, oh, God. Lord, would you help us? Would you help us? Lord, we must not fail. We must not fail in this area. Oh, how important that it is. Amen. Mm-hmm.